Welcome to Workplace English Pod, a great way to improve your English on the go. Workplace English Pod is brought to you by Workplace English Training e-Platform, the Internet's largest business English resource for learners and teachers of business English. You can subscribe to Workplace English Training e-Platform at www.workplace-english-training.com and get access to podcast transcripts, study notes, interactive exercises, and thousands of additional resources in the training center. Telephoning, finalizing agreements. Quite often in business, a deal can be concluded without having a face-to-face business meeting. Where the terms of a deal are not so complex, or a deal has already been partially reached, much of the final negotiation can be done over the phone. In more complex situations, however, face-to-face negotiations are usually necessary. If you would like to change the terms of an existing agreement, before you make your call to finalize the agreement, you should be clear about your starting and finishing positions. Do the calculations in advance and work out what a satisfactory outcome to the negotiations would be for you. Be aware of all the factors that have an impact on the deal. In most cases, there will be some flexibility with these factors. Jenny Bond of United Wholesalers in London has just received the following facts from Bernard Chan of NEG in Hong Kong. NEG supplies forklift trucks. Facts. NEG Hong Kong. Re special order of 20 forklift trucks. Dear Jenny, we regret that our standard vehicles are not suitable for your purpose, but confirm that we can manufacture to the specifications you have forwarded. Unless you can increase your order from 20 vehicles, however, there will be a substantial charge for this service. Please let us know if you would like to pursue the matter further. Yours sincerely, Bernard Chan, International Sales Director. Jenny then telephones Bernard to see if he will accept an order of 25 trucks so they can finalize an agreement. Let's listen in on their conversation.
Good morning, NEG. This is Bernard Chan speaking. How may I help you?
Hello, Bernard. This is Jenny Bond of United Wholesalers in London.
Ah, hello, Jenny. What can I do for you?
I'm calling about the forklift trucks we've been discussing.
Oh, yes.
Well, I received your fax this morning, and I'd like to make a new proposal.
Aha.
If you could make the changes to the trucks at no extra charge, we'd be prepared to increase our order from 20 to 25 trucks. Do you think that would be acceptable?
I'm afraid we still won't be able to accept that. Our profit margin on each truck is very small, you see.
Well, what would be the extra cost per truck to make the necessary changes?
Let me see. We've worked out that for each truck, the cost of material and labor would be an extra 15,000 Hong Kong dollars.
Okay, I'd like to make you a new offer then.
Right.
We could still go for 25 trucks, but we would expect you to half the charge for the extra work.
Yes, I think we could probably work something out on that basis. Would you put that in writing for me?
Yes, of course. I'll do that today. In the meantime, could you send us an official quotation for the work?
Certainly, Jenny. I'll fax that to you in the next hour.
When you answer the phone on behalf of your company, it is important to greet the caller with good morning or good afternoon. You should also give the name of your company, your own name, and offer to help the caller. Let's hear how Bernard answers the phone. As you listen, note whether he includes all the points I've just mentioned.
Good morning, NEG. This is Bernard Chan speaking. How may I help you?
Note that when we answer the phone, we say, "This is," followed by our name. For example, "This is Bernard Chan speaking." This can also be shortened to just "Bernard Chan speaking." We never say, "I am Bernard Chan." Jenny gets immediately to the point of her call. She says,
"I'm calling about the forklift trucks we've been discussing."
To indicate the purpose of your call, you can use phrases such as, I'm calling or phoning about. Or you could say, I'd like to talk to you about. First, just mention the general purpose of your call. And once the receiver is clear about this, give more specific details. Let's listen to how Jenny does this. She says,
I'm calling about the forklift trucks we've been discussing.
Oh, yes.
Well, I received your fax this morning, and I'd like to make a new proposal.
Aha. Jenny makes a clear reference to the fax she received from Bernard, and then says, I'd like to make a new proposal. She uses this phrase to show that she wants to change the terms of the original deal and would like Bernard to consider these. She wants to introduce a new proposal to him. She could also have said something like, We'd like to make a new offer, or We have something new for you to consider. It's common when making a proposal in a negotiation to use conditional forms, especially the type 2 conditional. Let's hear what Jenny says.
If you could make the changes to the trucks at no extra charge, we'd be prepared to increase our order from 20 to 25 trucks.
The basic structure of a type 2 conditional sentence is, if you could, would, do something, we would do something also. Notice the use of the tentative modal verbs could and would. Both of these indicate possibility rather than certainty. Let's listen to a few more type 2 conditional sentences. These would typically be used in a negotiation. If you could lower your prices by 10%, we would place an order today. If you would agree to payment terms of 90 days, we would increase our order to 100 units. If you could include the annual servicing free of charge, we would accept your unit cost. In type 2 conditional sentences, it is also common to use the past simple tense in the if clause instead of using modal verbs. For example, Jenny, instead of saying, if you could make the changes to the trucks at no extra charge, could have said, if you made the changes to the trucks at no extra charge, we'd be prepared to increase our order from 20 to 25 trucks. Such sentences using the past tense are more direct than using modal verbs. Let's hear those example sentences again using if plus the past tense. If you lowered your prices by 10%, we would place an order today. If you agreed to payment terms of 90 days, we would increase our order to 100 units. If you included the annual servicing free of charge, we would accept your unit cost. There is no difference in the meaning of these type 2 conditional sentences compared to the ones using modal verbs. The only difference is in the tone. Using modal verbs helps you to sound less direct and more tentative. Once Jenny makes her new proposal, she immediately checks if it is acceptable to Bernard. She asks,
Do you think that would be acceptable?
Bernard uses the phrase, I'm afraid, before he gives Jenny the bad news. I'm afraid is used to soften bad news. It's like you're saying, sorry, but... Notice also that Bernard continues using conditional forms. He says, We still wouldn't be able to accept. He doesn't say we won't be able to accept, since nothing has been decided yet, and everything is still up for negotiation. Let's listen to some further ways of politely rejecting a proposal. I'm afraid that wouldn't be possible. I don't think we could do that. I'm sorry, but we wouldn't be able to do that. I'm afraid it's not possible for us to accept those terms. Notice that in all these sentences, the speaker softens the bad news using phrases such as, I'm afraid, and I'm sorry, but. Too firm or direct a rejection might cause offense and lead to an early end to the negotiation. By being tentative and polite, you are almost telling the other side that although the offer is not acceptable, you are happy for the other side to put forward another proposal for your consideration. You are still willing to negotiate. Jenny then checks what would be an acceptable cost to Bernard to make the deal go through. She changes from using tentative to direct language. This is a good technique as it forces the other side to show their position. Whether or not further concessions can be made after this point is another matter, though. Let's hear that exchange again.
Well, what would be the extra cost per truck to make the necessary changes?
Let me see. We've worked out that for each truck, the cost of material and labor would be an extra 15,000 Hong Kong dollars. Notice the continued use of the would conditional from both sides. What would be the extra cost? And labor would be an extra 15,000 Hong Kong dollars. Jenny is not convinced that this is Bernard's final position and therefore makes a new proposal. She says,
"Okay, I'd like to make you a new offer then."
Bernard is clearly still willing to negotiate and hear what Jenny has to say. He's still willing to compromise. Jenny then makes a second proposal. She says,
"We could still go for 25 trucks, but we would expect you to half the charge for the extra work."
Notice again how Jenny uses tentative language when making her proposal. She says, "We could still go for 25 trucks." She doesn't say, "We will go for 25 trucks." The modal verb could indicates possibility, not certainty. Although Bernard is willing to accept this offer, he doesn't state his acceptance with 100% certainty. He says,
"Yes, I think we could probably work something out on that basis."
Using tentative language to indicate acceptance is quite common. Here, it shows that Bernard is accepting unwillingly, and this tells Jenny that this is as far as he's willing to compromise. This is his limit. Once agreement has been reached, it's normal to ask the side who made the proposal to provide written confirmation of the offer. Bernard asks,
"Would you put that in writing for me?"
He could also have said, "Do you think you could put that in writing? We'd need that in writing. Could you put that in a letter for me?" Before ending the call, Jenny asks Bernard for a quotation based on the agreement they've reached. She asks,
"In the meantime, could you send us an official quotation for the work?"
She uses the polite request structure, "could you," when making her request. She wouldn't say, "Please send us an official quotation for the work," since this is far too direct. She might also have asked, "Would you mind sending us a quotation for the work? Would it be possible for you to send us a quotation for the work? I would be grateful if you could send us a quotation for the work. I would appreciate it if you could send us a quotation for the work." When trying to finalize an agreement, it's important to keep the other party in the negotiation. In this regard, you should not state your final position too strongly, since this may indicate that you are unwilling to compromise. Use language which is polite and tentative. This will indicate that there might still be room for further negotiation. When making a proposal, use conditional language. Do not state your proposal using certainties. Try to become familiar with the Type 2 conditional structure, since this is most useful when making new proposals during a negotiation. You can subscribe online at www.workplace-english-training.com.